Push the little button. All right, I am going to call to order this meeting of the TPA Executive Committee. It's June 6, 2022. It's exactly 2 p.m. I'm going to ask for roll call, please.
Joelle Flores.
Present.
Maria Marino is virtual. Michael Napoleon.
Present.
Chelsea Reed is absent. Robert Weinroth.
Very good. We have a quorum. It's my understanding that Commissioner Marino is on the phone. Are you there, Commissioner?
Yes, I am. I'm on video.
Oh, you're somewhere. I don't see you. There you are. Hello, hello. All right. With
that's the royal COVID wave.
you know, we were happy that you are looking as fit as you are with the little bug that you're fighting.
The only advantage to having COVID is not having an appetite. So, you know, lose a couple pounds.
Right, well, maybe I need to get COVID then. All right. With that being said, I'm going to ask for permission for the commissioner to participate today virtually. So, seeing no objection, we will allow Commissioner Marino to be participating. We have a physical quorum of three of us here, and so that will be in order. All right. Staff is asking us to reorder the agenda so that Mr. Slavin can do his dog and pony and get on with his day without waiting on us. Is there any other changes to the agenda, Margie?
But there are no other modifications to the agenda, but I did want to let you know that both Paul and Bob have joined us online.
Okay, very good. All right, hearing no further discussion, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Commissioner, Councilman Dan Napoleon, seconded by Commissioner Marino. All in favor, all opposed, show it unanimously approved. Okay, I'm not quite sure why we're reviewing the committee's charge again, but it says in my script, pursuant to TPA Operation Procedure 22F1, the Executive Committee shall meet annually, and I'm not sure that's correct, to review and recommend updates to the TPA strategic plan for consideration by the governing board. I'm assuming you must have lifted that from something.
Yes, it's from the executive committee's charge. So we've been catering that part so that you're aware of what exactly you're meeting on for the meeting.
Okay.
So this is giving you allowance to talk about the strategic plan.
All right. It's always good to know why we're here.
Yes, because you were given four allowances in the operating procedures.
Okay. Do we have any general public comments, Margie? Anybody on the line who wants to say something?
No, none at this time.
I'm sorry, but Amanda, I will address my comments to you.
You're okay. None at this time.
Okay. And I see two staff members looking like they have nothing on their minds, or they have something on their mind, but nothing they want to discuss. All right. So we are going to close the portion of the meeting for general public comments. And so we'll have comments by the chair members. I really have nothing to discuss at this point. So anybody here? I see Commissioner Marino saying no.
I'm good.
We're good. All right, then let's move right on to the executive director's report. Interim executive director's report.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Wanted to highlight a few things in the interim director's report. Margie, can you pull up the one for this month, please?
Pardon me.
Oh, maybe it didn't sync. Okay. Well, I'll give a verbal update. I wanted to share that we promoted our planner to Greg Gabriel to our lead planner transit coordinator. He's been with us for 4 years, so we're excited about that. Some of us also attended the Palm Beach County Economic Summit on Transportation and Housing. I moderated a panel with our chair, Mayor Weinroth, as well as Secretary O'Reilly, PalmTran Executive Director Clinton Forbes, Stephen Abrams from SFRTA, and we talked about transportation issues and solutions. It was a great event, formally talking about the connection between housing, our housing needs, and transportation, and the need for a local funding source for enhanced transit and local mobility options. So I think it was a great event. I'm not sure if the chair would like to mention any other comments, but I think it really set the stage to continue that conversation in a more formal setting. And we had several polling options from the audience that also polled that they think we need a local funding source for a transportation surtax. So it was kind of a formal setting to really start that conversation. The following day on Thursday, the chair and I went to the Miami Smart Trends Transportation Summit. This was a summit on their smart plan, which is their enhanced transit corridors, which they already have funding in place and are further along the lines than us in that plan. But it was a great event to see where they're at, some of their lessons learned, some of the things that they've done to advance that conversation, also talking about housing and land use. So one of the things was a lot of transportation visioning, and as they coined it, instead of transportation-oriented development, transportation-oriented communities, really thinking about that community and that connection to the transit as they look at redeveloping land uses and using that to supplement, to become more attractive to the federal government for their grants on enhanced transit. So that was really great. And we also got to meet the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Perdue, the new Secretary for FDOT. So that was great. I wanted to mention coming up on June 16th, the afternoon after our board meeting, there's going to be a growth and infrastructure BDB task force roundtable. I'll be there with some of our partners talking about transportation and housing as well. So if anyone would like to attend that, that should be a good event. And then upcoming on July 6th through 8th, the Floridians for Better Transportation Summer Camp is happening in Boca Raton. This moves around the state this year. It just so happens to be in our county. So if any board members would like to attend, the primary audience is MPO directors and elected officials from MPO. So it's a good event to talk about transportation in Florida and some of the issues that and solutions that we're working on here. Also coming up, and actually this is next week, there's a road user fee charging conference. It's an international conference that is happening next Monday and Tuesday in Miami. And we've been reached out to see if anyone would like to attend this. And it's going to be talking about basically tolling. How are we shifting from as gas taxes are diminishing? How are we paying for infrastructure for transportation? And it happens to be in Miami. Our MPOAC director, Mark Reithart, is going to be a speaker at this conference, and they reached out to see if anyone would like to attend. They allotted us 5 seats. So I will be sending an email to the board to see if anyone would like to attend that. And then finally, my last thing I wanted to mention, at our last board meeting, we did pass a resolution allowing up to 10 people to go participate on our peer exchange with Austin, Texas, September 28th through 30th. We have received responses from actually 6 board members, and so I'm going to be following up to confirm. And also, we have confirmed Stephen Abrams, and he would like to bring an additional person from SFRTA on that, either him if he's still there or the new executive director, Clinton, Verdinia, Todd from the county administration, and Michelle Jacobs from Palm Beach County Economic Council. So we have already hit our 10 for that. So it's looking
like, because I was going to say, if you need one more, I will go.
Yeah, we said 10, but just to kind of set it up. But if you would like to attend as well, we can bring that up to the board to modify that. But that would be great if you're available. The event itself is going to be September 29th and 30th, but travel there on the 28th and travel back on October 1st. So I'll include you in the follow-up on the next steps for that.
Okay, thank you.
And that concludes my update.
Thank you, Valerie. All right, so I'm going to look for a motion to approve the meeting minutes from May 3rd. I have a motion by the mayor. Second by the councilman. All in favor, all opposed. Okay, our meeting minutes are approved from May 3rd, 2022. All right, the agenda has been reordered, so let's go on to Executive Director Recruitment. Mr. Slavin, you're on deck.
Excuse me, Mr. Slavin, please unmute yourself. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize.
It looked like you're still up in the attic.
Well, I am. It's easy. It makes it for a very easy commute. One staircase.
Wondered if your family let you come out of the attic, you know, to have something to eat.
I work so hard. I don't think they've seen me for a while, so I don't know whether that would what would happen if I tried to do that. But at any rate, am I still muted?
Nope.
No, we can hear you. All right.
There's a sign that tells me to unmute myself. I think we've made some progress since last time with the approval of the text of the profile and last meeting. We have provided that document, actually the portion of it, that the edition of it that has the graphics in it, which actually was modified today. Your staff asked me to rearrange some of the pictures in it. So you may, hopefully you've got it. If not, they've got it and can provide it to you. We have advertised this job with a variety of different organizations, most of which you'll recognize, American Planning Association, the Florida chapter of the American Planning Association, Florida Association of Counties, the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, the Florida League of Cities, American Association of Councils of Government, the Institute of Transportation Engineers, National Association of Regional Councils, International City County Management Association, Government Jobs Available, and then two or three minority-focused professional associations. And we have directly reached out to and sent invitations to members of all of the Florida TPAs, Transportation Planning Associations that were on the website. Have sent them the profile, asked them their leader, their executive directors and or deputies to take a look at this. And we have reached out to some transportation planning organizations beyond the state of Florida, particularly here in Georgia, Virginia, California, and some others. Bottom line is that we have eight resumes, and of the eight, where's my note here? Of the eight, six are from people who are well qualified by your standards. They all meet the 7+ years of supervisory experience. Six of them have Florida transportation planning experience. One of them has a state, actually state government, two separate state government, who has been the executive and the transportation planning state executive for two states in the West. One of those resumes of somebody who has no qualifications at all. We are still in discussion with some folks who've said they're interested, but we haven't seen the responses yet. But I think we probably are not going to get a lot more simply because there aren't a lot more people out there, and it's been circulated in the way that I just described. And I think most people who might have some interest in it have seen it. We have asked people who might not be interested themselves to pass it along to others that might be qualified and have an interest. We have gotten a couple of leads, one as recently as last Friday, and you still need to follow up on that. But I think we've got a group of quality folks that I'd be concerned about losing if we didn't move forward to find out at least a little bit more about them. And that would involve getting some additional written information from them and Zoom interview between me or somebody on my staff and these folks to really see who they are and what their level of interest is and how they interact with us, at least virtually. And then I think and simultaneously, we'll assuming that video interview goes well, we'll ask them to complete some to authorize us to do background work. And that usually takes 10 days or so. So I guess where I'm leading with this is I think we don't want to stop the recruitment, but I don't want to lose some of these folks if they're good. So that would be my recommendation, that that you authorize me to begin to follow up with some of these folks to see how well qualified they are and how interested they are, and begin to do some preliminary investigation of them through Zoom and through the service that we use to do background work. And in the meantime, keep the process open. And then we need to discuss how you want the results provided to you. And I would advise that that would be advisable to do that without waiting for another month meeting. So maybe once we get that work done, and I let your staff know that it's done, we can schedule a meeting or a Zoom call. Oh, one of the other, in terms of the responses, we have one internal candidate that's applied. So that's kind of where we are.
Sum up what you're saying. At this point, you really feel that you have six candidates that would be viable, that you would suggest now that you have the opportunity to have a conversation with them to determine whether their credentials on paper match up with what you feel is what they're going to present to you orally. And then you would make a report to us on those conversations. And presumably at that point, then we would be prepared to entertain some sort of an interview with them, either virtual or in person. Am I correct in my summary?
With the exception of one point, there are seven of them that I would include in that group. There's one that's clearly unqualified, and the one that there are six who have Florida transportation planning experience. One has state level experience in two major states in the West, but he's been the state director of transportation planning for two separate states.
Is that someone with the Florida state, or is that someone
from another state? Wyoming and one other state.
Okay. All right. I'm opening for discussion from the board.
I have my hand raised.
Okay, Commissioner, sorry. I see the hand up. Amanda, you or Margie need to just yell at me.
Just okay. A quick question and maybe a reminder for me. Did we give a deadline as to when we would be accepting applications?
Open till filled? No, the answer to your question is no, Commissioner. It's open till filled.
Yeah, well, it's open-ended at this point.
We've had this job temporarily filled long enough. I think we need to go ahead and pursue what we've got, especially knowing that Tri-Rail has their executive director position open too. You know, it's not like we're going to get a lot of people. If they haven't already applied, they're not going to. That would be my belief.
I agree with you.
Forward and start talking to people.
Yeah. Okay. So Councilman Napoleon agrees with you. I think Mayor Flores does, and I concur. It's time to take the step of let's do the interviews and let, perhaps by, when's our next board meeting?
June 16th.
June 16th. Do you think you could have, I know it's very short notice, but you think in the next 10 days that you could have those interviews done so that we could have at least a preliminary discussion with the board at that point?
I won't have the background work done. That takes about 10 days. And it's pretty thorough, but the interviews, yes. One suggestion would be that we conduct those interviews at 20-minute interval, and you'd be participate in them.
Is that our right role at this point, or are you supposed to?
Well, I'm just suggesting if that would be helpful to you, we could do it that way. It's my job to do it, so it answered. But I'm not trying to get out of it. I'd be part of it. I just sometimes the clients would like that, and you know what I'm talking about.
I would be happy to delegate this to anybody who wants to. I don't think more than one of us can participate. So, if Mayor,
right,
Councilman, or Commissioner, either of the three of you would like to take the opportunity to participate in those interviews.
I am going to say no, only because I'm going through it with Tri-Rail.
Okay. Mayor? Okay, Mayor says good, and
second the measure.
Okay, Mayor Flores, you have been nominated, you have been seconded, and I will call a vote, all in favor, all opposed. You're the one. All right, so Mayor Flores is going to coordinate with you, Bob, and then hopefully, if not by the next meeting, then by the meeting after that. And we're not having a July meeting, right? All right. I would like to see this thing tied up by July one way or another. If you can get your meetings in with the and do your interviews before the board meeting so that we have some sort of a preliminary report, and then we can decide how we're going to make an interview process, whether we'll use the executive committee here to then have interviews that are going to have to be on the record. These people understand that from that point forward, they're going to be on the record. So I really don't want to have anybody get to that step that's not appropriate for this position. I'm hoping between you and Mayor Flores, you'll be able to winnow this down. So not all seven of them would be invited for an interview at our next executive meeting.
That's exactly what I had in mind in terms of whittling it down. The Zoom interviews would be a screening interview process. I would suggest, though, start now to get authorization from these folks to do background work. That does take 10 days or so, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, even if you choose not to interview somebody. We've spent that. It's a couple hundred bucks. It's in the budget, and it begins that process. And
all right, so I'm looking for a motion to give authorization to the process of background checks. I have a motion by Councilman Napoleone. I have a second by the mayor. Commissioner, any comments?
Okay.
Okay. All in favor, all opposed. Okay, so that motion is approved. Bob, you have your authorization up to $500 per candidate.
It won't. Thank you. It won't cost anywhere near that, but I appreciate that.
All right, so we just, you know, make sure we don't have any wild and crazy bills coming in later.
You won't.
All right, anything else?
Our contract has an expense budget in it that's capped. So if we go over that, we pay it and you don't. If we go over it doing the work we told you we would do, we pay it. But I don't think I've never seen one go over $200.
Okay, very good. Then you have plenty of flexibility then. All right, then I think that's all we need you for today. Thank you very much for your update.
I appreciate you changing your agenda to accommodate this. I had a meeting that was supposed to begin at 5, and they moved it to 4:15, so I got a little nervous.
Mayor, you'll contact Bob so that you guys can coordinate your schedules.
Will do.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Slavin.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right. We're going to go back to the action items on our agenda. We're going to go back to 2A. You want to present that?
Sure. So I don't have a formal presentation for this, but it's just seeking authorization to fill a vacancy for our Planner 1 on the program development team.
There's a copy of the job description in our notes at 2A2. It's an exempt position. The salary is noted, and obviously with the promotion of lead planner, we have a vacancy. Any discussion? I have a motion.
Move to approve the authorization to hire to fill the vacancy.
We have a motion by Councilman Napoleone. We have a second by the mayor. All in favor, all opposed. Show that as being approved unanimously. Let's move on to the recommended updates to the TPA fiscal year 23 strategic plan.
Great. So we do an annual strategic plan. It's not a requirement, but it's more of a best practice that we try to focus on the items, the actions that we have in our two-year unified planning work program, trying to narrow down on each of those on key specific things that we would like to do and accomplish over the next year as kind of an above and beyond or kind of focused items. So we try to do 3 or 5 per action. And since we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year 2022, we wanted you guys to see our draft recommended edits first before we go through and present it to our committees and board for final adoption in July.
Just to clarify, so this from this point, we'll again go to advisory and then it'll come to the board.
Yes, in July.
Okay.
So I'm going to first give an update on our report card, which is where we're at based on the things we said we were going to complete in this last year in the strategic plan. So on this, we show either in progress, complete, or not met. Luckily, all the items we set out to achieve are either in progress or complete. So I'm just going to comment on a couple. One of the things, the interactive comment map, it's been a great tool. We were maybe a little ambitious on this one. We said we wanted to achieve 500. We've been really trying to promote it. We've gotten 186 comments so far, but so we marked that as in progress. And but the other items that we set out to do, we have either met or superseded our goals on those items. For plan the system, we did say we wanted to refine our countywide mobility vision and funding plan. We're working on the studies. We're working on one of the bigger studies, Okeechobee Boulevard and State Road 7, but we are also working on a work order that we plan to kick off this month for the remaining 561 plan corridors and tying in local mobility plans and desires to identify what those recommendations are and what's the dollar amount, the total cost that we're thinking of in terms of what everyone's desires and needs are. This will really tee in. So we did not complete this fiscal year, but it's going to be an effort over the next year, which is going to tee in really nicely into our 2050 long-range transportation plan update. And we're including that conversation as part of that scope. So this is one that we're marking as in progress, but definitely a hot topic right now, and excited to continue down that path of refining that vision. Also, we have here as in progress, but we do plan to mark it as complete this month. One of the things is updating our complete streets design guidelines in 2017, and we created local complete street design guidelines. And right after that, FDOT updated their standards and several other updates have happened. So we wanted to update our own local guidelines that fit our roadways here to be up to date with the current standards. So that's something that we're working on and we should have done this month. We'll move forward to the next one. We have 6 goals total. So under goal 3, We said we were going to establish an application process specifically for safety projects. We did establish a state road modifications grant application program, really focusing on safety, but we're still waiting on if an actual application process makes sense, and trying to work through that with FDOT, especially in terms of additional discretionary funds that may be available at the state level for safety projects, trying to get those local ideas and applications from our local municipalities for those types of projects. So we're still working on that with FDOT. Everything else we've met. Going on to goal number 5, one of the items that's still in progress is facilitating discussion with of LRTP projects, our long-range transportation projects, and inclusion of those projects in local comprehensive plans. So that's something that we're still working on, collecting those local comprehensive plans and beginning to do that outreach with our cities and tying that into our next 2050 long-range transportation plan update. So the long-range transportation plan is something that we update every 5 years. We're about to kick off, the scope will be later this year, but the actual effort will kick off in January is what we're anticipating. And that will be a couple of years of an effort. So it'll be a great opportunity also to tie this all in. And one of the things from our last long range transportation plan update, which we adopted at the end of 2019, that we said for the next one was to really try to tie in and work much more closely with our local municipalities and the county on it. So that's something that we're working on, and identifying what that roadmap will be on this next update. And last, under administer the agency, we say here for our quarterly and comprehensive annual financial reports. We plan to have the last one ready by June 30th. So that will turn into a green mark as complete. And then the strategic plan report card is what we're looking at today. It's not ready yet because we haven't finished the fiscal year. We still have this month to go. So that'll be marked complete as well. So that's a little bit of a recap on this past year. I'm going to dive into what our recommendations are for updates for the new year. So for the first one, we still want to keep it at 500 comments for collecting public comments, but instead of only saying that we want to collect these comments through our interactive comment map, we're saying we want to collect public comments via our online map, surveys, and other platforms such as social media, but basically collecting public comments and documenting those and helping to use those to inform our transportation planning efforts. So a little bit more of a broader spectrum to collect those comments. On number one B, we said expand social media following last time. We still plan to expand that and increase the social media, but also increase that engagement. So last time we said we want to get to 4,000 followers. We're there. And we said we wanted to have 25,000 impressions per month. We want to up that to 4,500 followers and 30,000 impressions per month. So we have Melissa here with our PR director has been doing a really great job on that. So we want to keep pushing those numbers up. So that one is just kind of rephrasing those two goals. Also, for increased public awareness of the TPA, we had a goal of 40 TPA-related media stories. We want to up that to 75. And again, Melissa's been doing a really great job getting out into the media and having them show up, asking us questions, getting our name out there, and getting more of that public involvement and comments.
What are we doing with this information? You know, specifically, if we're having 30,000 impressions, I'm assuming there's some comments being left on the website. Are we engaging with these people? Are we responding to them? I mean, what are we accomplishing other than knowing that there are people out there that are following us and seeing the information you're putting out?
Sure. So depending on the comment and the type of feedback we receive, for example, if on these impressions, we're obviously letting people know about transportation projects, studies, and things that the public can provide input on. When we receive comments on our interactive comment map, it's usually issues that the residents, visitors, folks are saying, hey, this sidewalk's broken. It's really dark here at night. Whatever their issue might be. And then we follow up with the appropriate transportation entity to try to solve those issues and see if there's a solution and potentially hopefully lead to a application to a TPA funded grant. So sometimes there are comments that are help us fix the transportation system or I have an idea or an issue. Other times it's just the public is sending an email or phone calls saying that they want to share their opinion or their concerns, and we're either trying to address them or directing them to the right entity who can help them. In terms of social media, some folks do provide comments and we follow up with them in terms of social media comments. So it just depends on the comment that we're receiving and the information, but we try to follow up and connect them to the right resource or the right entity to solve the issue or include that feedback.
Okay. Continue.
For our outreach events and campaigns, it was a little confusing before because we were saying 500 respondents, but then also 500 comments under action 1A. So we're going to keep this one at trying to get to 2,000 participants across all of our outreach events and campaigns that we do. For example, the Safe Street Summit, different workshops and panel events that we do to educate the public and our partners. But in terms of respondents, we're looping that into a 1A to collect feedback in the sense of surveys. How can we improve the transportation system? What thoughts do you have? And other formats. So
when you say 2,000 participants, are we talking about 2,000 unique individuals? Yes. Or we did?
So 2,000 people, for example, at State Street Summit, we had 400 people attend, and that's a collaborative event that we put together across the three counties. But other events such as panel events or workshops that we do, we may have 30 or 40 or different numbers of people, but it's individual attendees that participate in the event.
Okay. Pipe in if you have any comments. Don't, no formalities here. That goes for you, Commissioner. Don't feel obliged to wait for your hand to be raised.
That's all right. I got it. There we go. Trying to figure out the view here standard. If we're sending, conducting or supporting outreach events and campaigns, and we have 500 respondents and we're trying to go up to 2,000, is that a realistic goal? I mean, I could see doubling it to 1,000, and then if we overachieve at 1,000, we're doing good, but I you know,
sure. It's actually, we're keeping the participants the same. So it was 2000 before, the same goal. We're just moving the respondents, kind of felt like we were double dipping. So we're getting rid of 500 respondents. We're just saying our goal for that is 2000 participants. And then we're combining and saying, we want to collect 500 public comments across different, different settings. So this one previously said conduct and support outreach events and have 2,000 participants and 500 respondents. But we're saying keep it at 2,000 participants, keep this one straightforward. And then under 1A, we'll capture public comments under that, whether it was at an event, whether it was on our social media, whether it was on our interactive map, kind of a collective public comments to inform transportation planning.
Okay, sorry, I did not hear it that way. Thank you.
Yeah, and just for clarification, the red boxes are what's changed, but the strike through is what's being deleted and the underline is what's being added as a suggested update for this new year.
All right, thank you.
And then the last one, we are upping our goal for presentations as we raise awareness of the TPA. More and more folks want us to go present and tell us what's happening in their communities and regarding transportation. So we want to up that from 15 to 20 presentations about TPA initiatives to partner agencies and groups.
Are you doing anything making presentation to the individual municipalities so that they have an idea what exactly TPA does?
Yes, I actually was at the Wellington Visions workshop the other day presenting to them, but I've had several municipalities and local groups reach out to ask what is the TPA? What are you guys doing? How does it relate to us? For example, the North Palm Beach Chamber of Commerce, Boca Raton Association of Developers and different groups. So it's been kind of upon request, but it has been across the county, the request that we've been having.
I would ask maybe rather than just being upon request, you might be a little more proactive and put an invitation out there, then, you know, let them know we're here, and we'd certainly appreciate the opportunity to make a presentation to either your board or another forum that would make sense, maybe a workshop.
Okay. Either generally or specific issues.
Sure.
Well, I know that, Valerie's been very active in the north, or I should say the TPA has been very active in the north end of the county. We've done a walk around in Juneau. They just did Limestone Creek. So anything we can do to support the involvement of our smaller communities and our municipalities is great.
And that brings up a great point, because we've actually, speaking of the smaller municipalities, we've actually had interest from the smaller municipalities to join, even if they can't be on our board, on our technical advisory committee. So we recently had the mayor of Westlake join our technical advisory committee, and we had the mayor of Juneau Beach reach out and ask to be appointed as well. So we're getting more interest from our smaller local municipalities to want to participate in the planning process.
Is there a cap on the participation as far as members of the board?
The board, yes, but not the TAC, the technical advisory committee.
To change that would take a change of statute or our rules, or what would it take?
I believe so. Paul, are you on the line to help with that response?
Is Paul on?
He is.
Oh, there you go.
All right. You have to unmute, Paul. To my understanding, it would need to change the interlocal, right, Paul? Paul, you're still muted. Can you? Paul, it should pop up asking you. There you go.
Yeah, hey, you got Paul. Me now? Okay. Yeah, it would be a change of the interlocal, but it might also involve a change to statute. The statute has been used historically as a vehicle for capping the number of delegates that sit on a governing board for any MPO.
Do we know what that number is right now, Paul?
I I don't, because let me tell you, they changed it in the last couple of years in an effort to try to cause MPOs to merge with other MPOs. So I'd have to go back and check it. I think you're pretty close to being capped out, though.
All right, Margie, I think, has some information.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, well, no less than...
I can get back to you.
Paul, and you can confirm this, but it should be no less than 5 and no more than 25.
25.
Yeah.
All right. And we're, I don't think
we're at 21. Right?
We're 21. All right.
The last time we had it changed. Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner.
That's okay. I don't think going above 25 is necessary. You know, at some point in time, these meetings start to get unwieldy and you don't ever accomplish anything. So I know we want to accommodate our smaller cities, but I don't think making a board more than 25 people is the way to do it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
There is a way that you can accommodate some of the smaller cities, and that is through a sharing agreement whereby smaller communities from a particular area of the county could select, maybe even on a rotating basis, one member to serve on the governing board, representing, you know, three or four smaller cities.
All right. And you're saying that we're about 4 under the cap right now, that 25.
Well, one thing I have to check on that is when they amended it to raise it to 25, it was part of a move to try to cause MPOs to merge, which I don't think the Palm Beach TPA is interested in merging with other MPOs.
No.
So I'd have to go back and check that. But we're pretty close to the cap at 21.
Margie, you had something?
Yes, I was going to say the last time we actually made a change was Palm Springs and Green Acres was on a rotating seat, and then they both got permanent seats. That was the last change we had made. And then to your point, Paul, no, the TPA is not supportive of combining MPOs, and we actually sent a letter or a resolution opposing that that ruling. I think it was a legislative move.
All right, let's just get a report on that, Paul, and see if we do have any flexibility to add, and then consider what would be the methodology, whether it would be a pooled seat, whether we'd look for a city like Westlake that's obviously, growing and potentially would be someone that we would probably want to incorporate into our conversations. So... We'll look for a report from you perhaps at our next meeting, Paul, if you could.
You'll have it.
Thank you. All right, let's continue. Okay.
All right, on goal 2, we, rather than saying doing specific corridor studies on the transit plan corridors, we are doing that as part of the mobility vision plan and study that we're going to study the remaining quarters that we have left for enhanced transit and determining what those planning level recommendations are as part of that to speed this up, because these individual quarters take a longer time. So we are striking through that one. We want to continue doing pedestrian and bicycle safety field reviews as Commissioner Marino mentioned, the Limestone Creek walking audit and other walking audits around the community to identify improvements we can help with. On 2C, the new 2C, it's similar to before, but rather than updating it annually, we want to provide a status update and implement the Vision Zero Action Plan. So this was it's more of a tweak to the language versus creating a new plan every year. It's more, let's implement the plan that we have and provide an update on it. So that's the recommendation here. Possibly for the following year, we can do a new plan, or but at least give us like 2 years to kind of work on it versus creating a new plan each year.
Do we have anything that actually defines the corridors where we are going to look principally for vehicles and others where we're going to look for public transit?
We have our enhanced transit desires that are adopted from our 2045 long-range transportation plan, and that's the 561 plan. So those are the ones that we say we really want to prioritize enhanced transit on these specific corridors. The rest are kind of by default for moving cars.
And just refresh my recollection, which are our transit corridors?
So we have, for rail, we have the FEC, so with where Brightline is, but the desired travel coastal link and Northern Extension. We have the CSX with the existing tri-rail and then an extension to the VA hospital. For the roadway corridors that we want to have enhanced transit, the north corridors are US-1, Congress, military, and then the east-west corridors from the north to south are Okeechobee, Forest Hill, Lake Worth, Boynton, Atlantic, and Glades. So it's 5 north-south, including the 2 rail lines and 6 east-west.
Okay. Everybody's now, still comfortable with those numbers? I mean, the 561 plan, and you know, there was a cute name when we were all 561, but now we have a new area code, so...
And those corridors were determined with the logic. They were determined based on our current highest transit ridership routes, based on the most density of people per mile, jobs and people living per mile today and in the future, to warrant frequent transit service, frequent and reliable. That does not mean that other corridors may not have express service, but maybe it doesn't operate every 10 minutes, but it operates, you know, on State Road 7 or State Road 80. It might operate in an express fashion, but it's not running all day because you just don't have the density to warrant that. Those are things that are going to be refined in our mobility vision plan update and in our long-range transportation plan update, in addition to the on-demand local mobility services that other municipalities may want to connect to that frequent system.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, let's move on.
Okay. I mentioned the complete street design guidelines update. That was a one-time thing that we plan to finish this month. So we're striking through that. And then analyzing the impacts of the pandemic, current and future, we did that as well. And we're striking through that. And again, our goal is to have between 3 and 5 on each of these actions, on each of these that we want to focus on. For prioritized funding, I mentioned we already created the state road modification scoring system. So now what we'd like to do is identify and prioritize safety projects on our high crash corridors. So the corridors that we have the highest number of pedestrians and bicycles and car crashes happening. And also our tier 1 pedestrian and bicycle network desires. So also in our long range transportation plan, we identified tier 1 priority bicycle and pedestrian gaps. So this action here is saying that we want to identify and prioritize projects on these gaps and on our corridors that we have the biggest safety issues. And we want to have 5 projects prioritized for funding. We want to continue to help our partners with discretionary grants applications. There's been a lot of that lately with letters of support for grants that are happening with the new infrastructure law. I mentioned the establishing the application process for safety projects. That's something that we kind of did through the state road modifications, and we're still working with FDOT on that, but it doesn't seem to kind of make sense to have an additional application process. So we'll continue that conversation with FDOT, but for now we're working on it through our state road modifications. We also had advocate for TPA adopted legislative policy positions. We want to continue doing that. The outcome of amended laws and policies hasn't been very realistic in terms of what's in our control within a year that we're reporting on this, but we want to continue working on this. And as we discussed at our last governing board meeting, being part of the MPOAC process, at the next MPOAC meeting in July is going to be the workshop on the priorities of the MPOs for legislative policy positions at the statewide level. So we want to continue being a part of that, but we're not calling it out as a specific item here with an outcome. We're mentioning it, just we're going to continue participating as part of that process, being part of that conversation and advocating for those things. Okay, number 4. Yeah, yes.
We understand that there's going to be a lot of opportunity with the infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. I'm thinking in the prioritizing of funding, we need to have something in here as far as ensuring that we're capturing the potential grant opportunities and have maybe some tracking or reporting on that process to ensure, again, that we are taking full advantage of what's going to be opportunities for funding. Can you sort of think of a way to
Sure. I'm thinking that potentially that. What could be is under the 3B for supporting the applications for the discretionary grants, we could actually have more of a tracking system. These are all the ones we've supported. This is the deadline of when those grants will be announced. These are the ones that got funding. So that could be an option that we can report on.
I'd like to see something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other comments? Okay. All right, move on.
Okay, on goal 4, implement projects, we had here support accelerated project delivery by partner agencies. We want to continue to do this when it's possible, but it's not always in our control. This year, we have had some funding appear that allowed for this to happen. For example, State Road 80 project that was accelerated. Again, these were funds that were made available as a response to the pandemic, and also these are things that are not necessarily in our control, but obviously we want to continue supporting it. We are saying that we're striking through it as a call out action item, but we're saying instead we want to assist municipalities with project identification and grant application submittals. So previously I said that we want to continue to support discretionary grant applications. Here we're modifying this to say we want to actually assist municipalities with submitting their applications, identifying those project grants and getting them submitted. So that could be to our own programs, our own grant programs. Sometimes our municipalities may not have the resources to identify what the costs are or what, you know, the time to identify projects in their community. So it's really kind of taking a closer look and reaching out to help those municipalities with that.
I think that's a good change in the way you worded it.
Okay.
Number 5. This is a little different, but it's not the applications, but we do assist local communities, local governments with mobility studies and plans. So we're a funding partner for different mobility plans and complete street studies. We want to up that to 4. It was 3. Examples of this include we're currently helping Royal Palm Beach with their mobility study as a funding partner. We help Village of Palm Springs with their mobility and complete streets plans. And these are plans more at that local level for them to be able to identify what their network is, what their desires are, and where their opportunities are for them ultimately to hopefully apply to us for grant projects. So just upping that to 4.
You did the 3 last year, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So we haven't shared it yet, but it's 99% done. We have last year we said, I think this was a comment from Mayor Pinto, but he said there isn't really a one-stop shop of what are all the different modes of transit and mobility that we can take in this county. And we had the idea of let's create a video to show that. So we put together a video that we will be sharing this month. Melissa's done a great job with that. And we have a quick video kind of showing all the different mobility options in Palm Beach County. So it was a one-time thing. We're striking through that, but we also had the idea of now let's create quick short videos on how do you ride and take these modes of transportation. So if I'm someone who's never taken Tri-Rail before, never taken Palmtran, come ride with me and watch this 3-5 minute video or whatever it is. And you can see what that experience is like, how you buy your ticket, what are your options, and even including things like the circuit that we have on demand outside. Not everyone, they know it's there, it goes around, but they don't really know like how to actually use it. So we want to create how to ride mobility options videos.
I think those can be really, really useful if you're done right. So that's great.
And also exciting, we want to get our board members and committee members and partners to come try these, come learn more about our transportation partners and options here in our county. So we said we want to do 4 mobile tours. with partner agencies to experience our local transportation facilities and services. This could be a bus taking the express bus on Palm Tran to the Glades and experiencing their on-demand service that they're offering over there with the local circulators. It could also mean going to visit the Palm Beach PBIA, the airport, going to visit our port, going to ride Tri-Rail, and hopefully as a bonus, riding Brightline to the new Boca station in this new year. So this is something we want to do at least one per quarter and invite our board and invite our committee members to actually go and experience the transit and our different facilities to learn more about them, since we plan and prioritize funding for them, actually get a hands-on experience. Kind of like Leadership Palm Beach County does kind of tours, but taking our board to these transportation facilities.
In your video that you're doing, have you incorporated the new Paradise plan that the Palm Tran is using?
In the mobility options video, I think we just kind of high level talk about the different modes of transportation that we have, but in the how-to, we definitely will.
Okay. You know, I think, again, people who don't frequently use public transportation have, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed walking to the fare box. So anything you can do to relieve them of that stress and let them know, you know, the opportunity to go online, get the app, and just be able to wave your iPhone and keep going. Okay.
And in the mobility video that we're finishing this month on just kind of all the modes that you can take, we are saying at the end, go to our website, and on there we do have the information for everything else too. But we'll dive into it more on come ride on the how to ride, come ride with us.
Yeah.
Okay, last goal. Administer the agency. So we did say we wanted to modify our TPA committees to support TPA initiatives. And that's something that we brought to the executive committee. We talked about what our three advisory committees are, what their operating procedures are. We made modifications to that. They were adopted by our board. We did actually have at our last board meeting, board members request that we bring that back. So we will bring that back to kind of provide that overview. But that was kind of a one-time thing because we hadn't looked at it in a while. So now we want to update. So we're striking through that, but we do have a new item. And this was a great idea by Margie to update our board and committee onboarding resources. So we have some onboarding resources, but we want to update that and with our handbook and an onboarding video. So when you become a board member or a committee member, you have a resource that really kind of walks you through it and guides you through what does it mean and what your role is.
You know, I think that obviously we have our changes every March as the elections in the municipalities occur. Maybe in April, a session that would be available to the new members just to, you know, again, just walk them through what it is the TPA does. I mean, you know, I remember from the days when I was on the city council, you know, you do your organization meeting and next thing you know, you're assigned TPA and you're not quite sure what TPA is, but you're now going to a meeting. So I think, you know, that onboarding process of giving them an idea of what it is that
it's a great idea.
Yep, that sounds great. So maybe we could add on here an annual kind of workshop on top of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think like very early in April, that would be the appropriate time for that to be done.
And maybe create a little palm card bookmark of all the little acronyms so people have a cheat sheet of
the TIP, the LRTP, the UPWP.
What the letters mean.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great idea. And also whenever we do have a new board member join, we recently had several new board members. I reach out and try to meet with them and give them an overview as well.
Okay.
Which I actually recently did with Mayor Flores's alternate, who, because you've never missed a meeting. So she was like, what's the TPA? So gave her an overview, but you had a very important event to attend. So, other than that, we're just clarifying, we want one new designation because we currently have our bicycle friendly business silver designation for another year. We have the best workplaces for commuters. That's something that we apply for and get every year, but now we want to get an additional designation. And this might be one that falls off next year because we don't want to just continue curing accolades, but there's other designations such as best places to work, and other designations out there that we want to look into. So we want to get one new one in this new fiscal year. And then the final edit is just kind of the same thing, but for the new year, the financial fiscal year 22 financial report. So the financial report for this year that just passed.
Okay. All right.
So those are our suggested updates. We will run this through all the advisory committees and bring this back to the governing board for a final adoption and update in July.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, I'll look for a motion to approve the update to the fiscal year.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, I got a motion by the mayor and a second by the commissioner. All in favor, all opposed. It is approved. All right. So now we have already done item 3A. So leads me to say our next time together will be July 13th. Anybody have any further comments? Commissioner Marino, anything left to say before we call it a day?
Happy birthday to you for this week, I guess.
June 9th.
All right. Well, I probably won't see you, so happy birthday.
We're going to miss you tomorrow, but I'm sure we'll see you on the
you'll
screen.
You'll see me on Zoom.
Okay. All right. Feel better.
Thanks. Bye.
On that note, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.